But first of all, this popped up. So that was like very, I'm in a shrine that I should just happen to open to this page. Mm-hmm. And I see that I noticed it even then, but whatever. And the other thing was, I was just listening to a shir in the car, and he was saying a similar thing. This was Rav Reuven Lechter. He was saying that he was, I think, comparing it more to like the idea. He was saying that when you daven, you're not just asking for what you want, you're using that to open up and be more broad. Like that's, it's also an exercise in increasing your, like from taiva to ahava. So you take the lesson, okay, so here I have a need, I have a pain, I have something, and that goes into the tefillah. But then you think about that. Meaning, if I have that pain, maybe other people do. Right? Yeah. And it becomes, you can take from also your need, you can grow from that to be somebody who's also looking out for other people's needs. That's, we know that in action, but he was saying like in tefillah also.
Right. That it's, then, yeah, because you don't want to dust for yourself. So you,
yeah. So it's not that you're ignoring your need. It's specifically built on the fact that you have need. And built on the fact that maybe you're suffering or you have pain or you have to ask. It's not that you shouldn't ask. It's that in the asking, you could become somebody bigger than just somebody who's asking for yourself, which is all, and it all fits in exactly with that whole way of thinking. So here also, this is Rav Brevda. So he brought here, v'ha'adam ha'yashar kishem ispalel. A yashar person, when he davens, mechavin yoser bivrachos u'bishvachem u'vehodos mimashim mechavin bivakashos. He has more kavana in the praise and in the gratitude parts of Shemoneh Esrei than in the vakashos. And then he recites the rokeach. Hello, hello. We didn't really start. This is for you. In case you need something. I had a feeling. Zelashono of the Rokeach HaMispalel, the one who davens. Sorry, this is not Hanukkah. This is Tzarech Sheyechavin Es Libo Bekulan. You should think about all of them. Ve'im Einu Yachol Lechavin Es Libo Bekulan. Let's say you can't keep your kavana the entire Shemoneh Esrei. There's a Gemara that talks about this. It says, well, what about just the first bracha, right? Yechavin libo be'achas mehem be'avos ve'hodayos. Hine ra'inu that. So, what do you see from that halacha? This is a Gemara. The Gemara says that if your person's davening, we didn't start with this yet. This is a three pager. Here. This is what we happen to be looking at. This is. I'm going to give it one more minute. This is just discussing something we were talking about. That the halacha is, so what happens if a person, Gassa and the Shemoneh Esrei, they realize they didn't have kavana the whole time? Maybe they weren't yotzei. The answer is, at least one bracha, you were yotzei. If you had, in Avos in particular, it's not here he's citing, or at the end, but it's, I think typically it's, as long as you had in the first bracha, and the question is, what if you didn't even manage the whole first bracha? Which goes to show that even in the time of the Gemara, there was such a known concept that a person might have trouble with kavana. Okay. But what we see from this is that Ikar Kivun Bibracha Rishona, that the Ikar of Kavana, of Shemoneh Esrei, is the first bracha. She Birkas Avos, or maybe Modim, because it said Hodaya. In other words, it's not the Bakashos, even though really the core in Shemoneh Esrei is the Bakashos. Vekeshe Yizkor, Baruch Atah Hashem, Besof Kol Bracha. And then when you mention the bracha at the end of every bracha, Yitin Libu L'Chavim, Kamo Shem L'Chavim Bebakasha, So Shet Tzarech Tzalich HaZavon. So then you, at the end of every bracha, then you can add your own needs. Okay. So now, I just want to jump down because I want to move on to Chanukah. Umi Shehu Rotze L'Chavim, Yelamid Atzmo, Besof kol bracha bracha lishtok ma'at ulachavin velomar bracha d'Hashem. If you want to have good kavana, then what a person should do is he should teach himself to pause at that point before making the closing bracha of each of the brachos, and then say baruch atah Hashem. It's like stop, think, like reorient yourself, get yourself back on track, and the first brachos need kavana gadola, and also the last brachos. And it's interesting that they leave at the middle. Okay. And then he says at the very end, "V'sefer Nefesh HaChaim Kosov." Nefesh HaChaim writes, "She'afilu bevakashosav lo yichavin tzarech atzmo ela tzarech gavoa." Tzarech gavoa means ki'ilu the heavenly needs, not one's own. Meaning, what does Hashem need, not me? Obviously, Hashem doesn't need, but like, what's Hashem's ratzon into the world that isn't yet fulfilled, rather than oneself? So I was saying that in this shir from Rabbi Lechter, this is from Rav Brevda, but I was hearing just on my way over, He was saying it more like from your own need, then you build on and realize other people also feel that way. Other people also are sick or have someone in their family with need or need parnasa. It's not that you don't ask for your own need in Shemona Esrei, but that you build off that and think of more than yourself. You use your own need to teach you how to think of more than yourself. So that I just brought that in because it sort of opened up in the Sefer when I was opening to find the Hanukkah piece. Okay, so Hanukkah. Okay, so this is the Hanukkah one, and I thought we were gonna have to skip it entirely because those are no. Do you have one? It's 3 pages.
Oh, it's 3 pages.
Yeah. Oh, no. And then Rina showed me that we actually still have 2 classes, even though I had to miss last week. So we could do the Rav Brevda first, and then we could do the Rav Hirsch, which I think will be even more satisfying together. Okay, but we're gonna jump around. We're not gonna do the whole piece from Rav Brevda. So basically, the introduction to this is. Shimon HaTzadik, okay? The Gemara says that in each generation there were those that Hashem treasured, even when it looked like Klal Yisrael were not good. Hashem will never hate us. Hashem will never despise us. For example, you had that Hashem will always send us someone who's available to save us. For example, you had Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the time of the Persians. And you had in the time of the Yevanim, Shimon HaTzadik and the Hashmonai and his sons and Matisyahu, Kohen Gadol. And then you had Mordechai and Esther in the time of Ahasuerus. Each time you have someone. So where does Shimon HaTzadik have to do with this? Shimon HaTzadik and the Hashmonai? What does Shimon HaTzadik have to do with Hanukkah? It's quite a long time before Hanukkah. Shimon HaTzadik haya Mishari Knesset HaGdolah. He's the end of the. He's the last one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He sat on the Beis Din, on the Sanhedrin, together with Nevi'im. There were actual Nevi'im that he personally knew. And he's in the second Beis HaMikdash, but right at the very beginning. But what happened in the time of Shimon HaTzadik? Shimon HaTzadik is basically the transition person. He is the transition from the Nigla to the Nister world. It's obviously a period of transition because you already had a galus, right? So that's a haster aster, that's Esther, which is a few years before Shimon HaTzadik, not tons of years before. But Shimon HaTzadik, here, let me tell you what it says over here. Whoops, oh, we're not up to that. We'll get to this in a minute. The different nisim that happened in his time. But Shimon HaTzadik, if you think about it, is the beginning of Galus Yavan. Why is Shimon HaTzadik the beginning of Galus Yavan? Because it was Shimon HaTzadik who was the leader at the time when Alexander Mokdon, Alexander the Great, came to Eretz Yisrael. He's the beginning of the Greek-Syrian Empire. When he came first, it worked out okay, but it was a scary situation in the end, right? Shimon HaTzadik met with him and he bowed down. He said, I see an image of this man. Right, every time in a dream, if the next day's battle is going to be victorious. So the first confrontation between Yavan and Yisrael is really in Shimon HaTzadik's days. It doesn't start suddenly in the time of the Maccabim. Anyway, it didn't start suddenly in the time of the Maccabim, but where it really started was in this time of Shimon HaTzadik, because Shimon HaTzadik is this transitional figure. So I'm going to start with on the second side, which is page Yud Gimel. It's really the third page of this essay. There's a subhead, Arba'im Shana Shashime Shimon HaTzadik. We don't have time to do all the paragraphs, but I gave you the whole essay, partly because we're jumping around anyway, you need all the pages, and also because I hate when people teach and they give you a little snippet with no context, and you go years later and you look it up. It's like both exciting and delightful and also annoying that you discover that like they left out all the pieces that gave you any concept of what was really being said over there, and they like used this phrase to say what they wanted to say. So here you have it all, and you could go back yourself and like fill in the details, but this is to carry you the gist. And okay, so the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik served as the head of the nation, v'hinei b'gemara yuma isa, it teaches in Gemara Yuma, it says, tanu rabbanan d'chachamim taught, abayim shana sheshime Shimon HaTzadik, the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the leader, he was Kohen Gadol, haya goral ola biyamin. Every single time for 40 years that he was Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, when they would have the kupah, that they would, it's not called kupah, it's called anyway, words escaping me. They would have the goral for Seir Lazazel and Seir Lashem, it always came up Seir Lashem in the right hand, and it's considered a good sign every single year. Mikan ve'elech, from then on, pamim ola b'yamin, pamim ola b'smol. After that, sometimes the right hand, sometimes the left hand. Okay, either way, one goat goes in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, and one goat goes out to Azazel, but it always came up in the right when he was Kohen Gadol. V'haya lashon shel zahoris, and the tongue of fabric, like the piece of fabric that they tied red, it was malbin, it would become white, it would bleach white, right? When they would push the goat off far away, so the people who were at the Beis HaMikdash for the Avodah couldn't see that happening, but when it did, and if there was kapara, then there was a nes that it would turn white. Okay, you see why he's the transition. There were nisim, some quieter nisim, some more open nisim, from the first Beis HaMikdash that continued into the beginning of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, some of them, and in his time they were consistent. It would turn white. Semer Adom Shekashu Barosh Seir HaMishtalech Hayam Albin V'yom Kippurim L'Simon Shemachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. This is someone they had Mechila. Mikan Ve'elech, but from then on, after the time of Shemna Tzadik, Pamim Albin, Pamim Eino Malbin. Sometimes it turned white, it didn't always turn white. It might have meant that they didn't have kapara, but I think in that time, the point is that it, you know, sometimes it happens that way. You can't always count on the miracle happening. That seems to be a little bit more the trend of this Gemara based on the other things, like the coming up in the right hand. It's not like this way you have kapara, that way you don't. But since the right hand is more the strength, so if the strength is on the Seir Lashem and not the Seir Lazazel, it kind of gives a little indication in a positive way. But after that, it's not that they could say, no, Hashem is like, mad at it, but, you know, like, they live in a time where there aren't open miracles. So, like, you know, you flip the penny, like, you pull out the Goral from the Kalpi, it's called, from the Kalpi. So it should be roughly 50-50, right? About half the time it comes out to the right hand, and about half the time it comes out to the left hand. Okay? A random distribution. V'haya ner ma'aravi dolek, kol alayla v'gam b'boker. The ner ma'aravi, they would put in the same amount of oil into all seven of the lamps of the menorah, but the ner ma'aravi would burn all the way through until the next time of lighting, till the next evening. Mikan ve'elach pamim dolek pamim chiba. But after the time of Shemen HaTzadik, that miracle that it was always, but which is interesting, right? This is a miracle with the menorah that was all the time. We talked about this on Shabbos. What?
It must have been hard to, like, see everything.
Yeah, every time they came in, they didn't really know. V'haya esh shel ma'aracha misgaber. And the fire that was on the ma'aracha is the pile of the wood on the mizbeach, hachitzoni, the mizbeach of the karbanos. It misgaber. It made itself strong. Like, it would constantly be strong. It would make itself strong. Dolik me'elav, below to safazetim, meaning it would keep on burning without adding. You'd have to keep feeding more wood into this fire all through the day. But mikan ve'elach pamim miskaber, pamim me'in miskaber. But after that time, sometimes it would strengthen itself, sometimes it wouldn't. Below hayu kohanim nimnoim milahavi etim milamaracha kol ayom kulo. And when it wasn't miraculously keeping itself going, then they had to load the ma'aracha in the morning. And throughout the day, they had to keep feeding more wood into the fire, as you normally would. Naturally, if you have a fire burning, you do have to occasionally add more fuel to it to keep it going. So you have a more natural presentation that in the time of Shemen HaTzadik was not so. You had these miracles, not so much that they're open miracles, but they're statistical miracles, certainly. Right? But I suppose the white thread is more of an open miracle. It's not that nature is exactly overturned so much as, like, you don't expect to flip heads all the time. Now, in a random statistical sample, you expect maybe even to get a run, maybe even 50. I don't know what the statistics are, right? You could get a lot of heads in a row. But if you look at a large enough sampling, you should come out 50-50. That's natural. So if you're pulling a goral, you expect it to roughly come out 50-50. A fire, you expect to have to feed it. So each the presentation and the running of the Beis HaMikdash is getting more and more natural looking once Shimon HaTzadik passed away. V'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer v'shtei halechem uv'lechem haponim. And the bracha that was in the different matnos kahuna of the omer and the shtei halechem and the lechem haponim, right, that you, no matter how many kohanim, they got a little piece and it was enough to satisfy them, that bracha did not always work out. And you know, like, you have like a half a piece of bread, like, you might not feel totally full. Okay, it's natural. Is it a sign of something bad? No, but something's missing. If you know that really, for hundreds of years, you ate that half a piece of bread and you were full, then you would look back and say, wait, something's not right. Yeah? But anyone who would just come across it for the first time, nothing wrong. Just natural. Okay. So, hinei mevuar. So what becomes clear is that betkufas kahunaso shashemen hatzadik haya hamatzav beveis hamikdash kula lamala min hateva. That in the during the time that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, the situation in the Beis HaMikdash was everything was happening l'malam min hateva in a supernatural way. V'achar kach nia hamatzav yoser tivi, and after that the situation became more and more naturalized looking. V'yesh la'ayim b'zeh lahavin ma bein tkufas l'tkufos shebo acharav. So let's find out like what that indicates. What do we see from this? What can we know from this? Okay, but now we're going to skip a lot of what we're going to know from this. And we're going to move to page Tesavav. I'm just going to do one sentence, and then I'm going to skip to the next paragraph. Divrei HaRamban VeHagra al Aristo HaYavani. Aristo is Aristotle. Okay. Hine yadua she'Alexandros Mokdon, Alexander Mokdon of Macedonia, Alexander the Great Hayatamido she'Aristo HaYavani. His father was Philip of Macedonia. He hired the most brilliant educator and scientist in the world to teach his precious little boy. So he hired Aristotle. He is Avihim Shal Chachmei HaTeva. So Alexander the Great's teacher is the father of all natural science. And that is absolutely a fair statement. I don't think anyone in Torah or in science would deny that he is the father of all science. Let's skip. Do you ever have Rush? Okay, so the point being then that in the meeting of Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander Mokdon, what you have is Shimon HaTzadik who is presiding over a Beis HaMikdash that is Lamala Min HaTeva, is now meeting Alexander Mokdon, who is Yavan, who comes with the full culture of studying nature, of Teva. That is the meeting between Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander Mokdon. Right? That's what's happening over here. These two different, let's call them cultures, these two different ways of living in the world are now meeting head to head. One, the world of Teva, of study of Teva, is threatening. And what does he see? He says, oh, I never mentioned this to anybody, but actually there is this somewhat supernatural thing that happens, which is that if I'm going to win a battle, I have a premonition of that, which is that I see the person who presides over Lamala Min HaTeva in this world in a dream. Chances are, he didn't talk about that much to people because that is not fit in, as they say, shtim, so well with like being the student of Aristotle, who does not accept anything that he can't himself see or prove. Divrei HaRash VaRivash al Chachmas Torah v'Chachmas HaTeva. So just to understand a little bit, Iker point here about the Chachmas HaTorah and Chachmas HaTeva. Rosh Zal Kosov B'Tshuva, Klal Nun Hei, Chachmas HaPhilosophia, the Chachma of Philosophy, the Chachmas HaTorah V'HaMishpotim, Einam Al Derech Achas, the Chachar Hello Hello. Make sure you take one of these also, just separate. Okay, we're on page Tesavav. Near the bottom. The Chachma of Philosophy, Philosophical Science, and the Chachma of Torah and Halacha are not the same Derech. At all. Like you might think, oh, it's like, you know, there's like biology is the study of living creatures and geology is the study of earth science and astronomy is the study of outer space and stars and things out there and like Torah is the study of Torah. No. It's not just another branch of the same type of philosophy of thinking and study. Ki chochmas haTorah hi kabbalah l'moshe miSinai. The chochma of Torah is received and handed to us. We did not create it. It's just given to us, whole and ready to go. It's completely supernatural. It's not chachma that comes from this world. It's chachma where the world, the heavens opened up, and something supernatural came in and was given to us. V'chacham, v'achacham, yidrosh ba, b'mido shenasna, and the chacham who wishes to study Torah and understand it better can darshan it according to the mida, according to the officially given methods, Ladar Yishbahem, right? There's 13 Midos, Shenidrash, Torah Bahem. There's Klal Prat. I think Mrs. Burstein taught us this. Klal Prat Klal, and Prat Klal Prat. Does she still teach us?
She mentioned.
She taught us about this. She didn't teach us the whole Hada Darshan, but like Zer Shava.
Like every
No, these are the Midos, the Torah, okay. Ways of knowing which it's referring to. But these are also given. Umidaba milsa la milsa, and you examine word by word. It doesn't have to be that it apparently seems to match up with what's natural. I mean, it happens to be the natural world will never be in contradiction to the Torah, because the natural world was constructed and created in accordance with Torah. But nonetheless, there's a person might say, well, how could you say this? Like, we know that scientists already know that the process, you know, but they don't know it. They think it, right? And they think it fits in, yeah? So if there's any kind of disagreement, right, we go according to Kabbalah. We don't worry about the fact that, like, science looks this way one time, this way another time. That's not relevant. It's, okay. Aval chachmas ha-philosophia, philosophical science, he tivis. This is natural. V'chachamim gedolim, and very wise, intelligent people, hayu, there were very wise, intelligent people who established a lot of parts of this. It doesn't mean we laugh at it. Chachma v'goyim tamin, Torah v'goyim al tamin. Okay? There's nothing wrong with the idea that there could be very great, wise people, right? The Rambam clearly has quite a lot of respect for Aristotle and his logical way of reasoning and seeking to understand the patterns behind things. Okay, so very wise, intelligent people, hamidu kol davar al tivo, who established each thing according to its nature, right? Trying to understand, is there a pattern here? Is there a grouping here? Are these things related to those things? Is there a common rule that guides, you know, this type of behavior or that type of action that we see? What's the cause? What's the effect? How are they tied? Rather than just, oh, it's just magical, right? Like, there's a tremendous wisdom and knowledge in that. But that's a completely different way of thinking. One is Chachma Sator and one's Chachma of Teva. And they are not really related, not in process and not in results. V'hutrachu likfor b'Torah Moshe. In order for those great scientists who started science, Aristotle and others, they really had to deny the Torah of Moshe, l'fi she'ein kol ha-Torah tivis ala Kabbalah. Because it doesn't fit in. They don't know what to do with it. What do you do with the fact that there's this thing called Torah? What do you do with the thing that there's a fact that there's a people called Klai Yisrael, living Lamal? Someone who is fully, fully engaged only with understanding nature really doesn't have anywhere in their mind to file away. Everything else, you try and figure out where to file it and how is it organized and what's the method, where's it in common, where do you say? When it comes to that, which is supernatural, Klai Yisrael, Torah, you don't know what to do with it. You don't know what to make of it. You have no way to understand it. Okay? That was the problem that Yevanim had. They came in and they broke a pirza. They broke openings in the wall. Maybe they broke openings in the wall. Right? What's the wall? They broke, there was a surig. There's a low wall in the Beis HaMikdash that has signs on it. They've even found some of these signs in Greek. In Greek. They say, entrance forbidden to non-Jews. Right? You can't come past this wall. You can come. You can come to the Beis HaMikdash. You can bring the korban if you're a non-Jew. You're meant to. It's a good thing. Right? But you can't come past here. This they broke holes in. That kind of division, saying there's something different, special inside, no. That we don't accept. Right? No, we don't have to throw away all the oil. We just have to be metamei it. What do you mean it's different? It's different how? I put it under a microscope. I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference between the metamei oil and the tahor oil. So there's no difference. The Yevanim did not, they're the ultimate involvement in the Chachma of Teva, and therefore, we have nothing, we don't accept, we refuse to accept that you think that there's a Kiddush HaChodesh, what do you mean Kiddusha, Bris Mila, what? Like, what do you mean different? That they can't accept. V'al zeh ne'amar tamim tiyeh Hashem lokecha, bitamim with Hashem. Klamar, afilu yetzeh lecha davar, chutz me'a Teva, al tahar al ha-Kabbalah, ela betmimus esalich lefanav. You have an issue, you don't have to go and try and see what kind of natural rules, I'm not saying exactly now how he said it over here, but let's say something that's very relevant, right? You're nervous about something, so let me see what the stars have to tell me, or the line on my palm has to tell me, yeah? I mean, what is that seeking to do? Seeking to look to nature and try and see, is there a deeper rule or message over there that will help me understand the trajectory of the things that are happening. Which way is it going to turn out? So that's really a kind of chachmas hateva, meaning trying to study nature in such a way, even if it's to predict the future, it's to try and there's some kind of underlying rule there that would help me to understand it. And the Torah says, no, you're a Jew. You don't need to go there. Don't go there. Forget you don't need to. You're not allowed. Right? That's not the way a Jew needs to learn. Okay. Now I'm running to, sorry. Okay, page Tezayin. Kufaso shel Sherman HaTzadik. Hine, vehine. Mitchila sheltonam ba'arteinu hakadosha. From the time that they began to have dominion in our holy land, they, meaning the Yevanim, hishtadlu ha-Yevanim la-hashpia aleinu mechachmasam. The Yevanim sought to influence us from their chachma, that we should learn from their chachma, chachmas hateva. Uvasof sheltonam gazru, and at the end of their dominating time, gazru gzeros la-hashkiach meitanu esatora hakadosha la-havirenu mechukei ratzono yisbarach shmo. They were even trying to get us to forget Torah and that, but it didn't all start that way. The beginning was just, like, also. You could also. And that's what they did everywhere they went. They said, you could keep your gods, just also ours. Yeah? So they come to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't go so well. We don't do so good with that. Are you with us? Yeah? Oh, sorry, we're on page Tezayin. And there's a, you might have to flip over. Could be on the back of something. I'm sorry. And there's a subhead, Kufaso Shel Shimon HaTzadik. Okay, sorry. I thought of stapling them, and then I remembered that they end up upside down, so I didn't staple them. Maybe it would have been better. Okay. Shimon HaTzadik, Shehaya Gadol Hador, V'gam Kohen Gadol, B'tchilas Malchus Yavan, Hishtadel B'kol Kocho, L'chazek Es Ha'am, Sheyish'aru Shleimim V'ne'emonim Ach V'rak L'Torasenu HaKadosha. Shimon HaTzadik was the Gadol Hador of his time, and he strove mightily to assert and to guide the nation that we should stay shleimim tom tiyem reshal kecha only with Hashem and the Holy Torah. V'shelo yasimu lev klalu chlal lachachma yavanu divrehim, and pay no attention at all to the wise people of Yavan and their words. It's not that it's bad for them, but it definitely has no place for us. Okay, so he comes, he puts on his clothing of a kohen gadol, and he walks right out to Alexander Mokdon, and who's going to give way over here? Alexander Mokdon. So you don't need to learn from him. Learn from me. Al kein bo tamid dvarav hakadoshim la'am segula sha'olam omid al gimel dvarim, esa katora vodas hakodesh kumilos chasadim, right? What does this world stand on? You want to build the world? You want to be successful? How do you make the world over here? Torah, avoda, kumilos chasadim. Yeah? Okay. Dvar of Hakdoshim, so Shem Lagamri Yeshitat Chachmei Ateva. That's an absolute, flat-out contradiction to what you learn if you want to know what makes the earth tick. And you look in a science book. Torah Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim lo yanikul adam al pi teva afilu pas lechem. Torah Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim are not going to do anything for a person, not even a slice of bread. Ech yiskayim ha'adam. How exactly is the world standing on these three things? World doesn't have any pillars. Don't be silly. It spins around in an orbit. Yeah? What do you mean that you should dedicate your life to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim to keep the world going? When it keeps the world going, you better plow the field. Okay? So this doesn't go together. But he's telling Klal Yisrael, this is what the world is about. It doesn't matter that it's supernatural. It's the truth. V'hitzliach Shemen HaTzadik b'zmanu la'achazik et ha'am b'shleimus ha'amun v'kiyum ha'mitzvos. And he was successful. Because Klal Yisrael were leaning on Siyata Dishmaya Lamala Min Hateva, Hashem showed Siyata Dishmaya Lamala Min Hateva. Rochi Bosam Lefonav Yisbarach Shemo, Hashem showed how cherished they were in a more Lamala Min Hateva way. Ki kol matzavam beveis hamikdash yom yom, ubishabes kodesh, uviyomim tovim, hakol haya Lamala Min Hateva. Okay, this, I think you weren't here for that part. It's one of the earlier paragraphs that cites a Gemara about Shimon HaTzadik in his time, the different miracles that would happen consistently during his lifetime, but after that, not consistently. So even when the Yevanim came determined to break the Beis HaMikdash, that was when Alexander Mokdon came. That was early on, because the Kusim, if you want, you can look back at the beginning, we didn't even read that part, how that all came to happen. Why did Alexander Mokdon come? It was because the Kusim told him, and so he's going to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Hitkif, Hatokif Shebemalcha Yavan, he was the most powerful of the kings of Yavan, Lalos Ha Yerushalayim, to come and rise up against Yerushalayim, Lo Hayinu Zekukim, L'cherev L'chanesu L'melchama. They didn't need a sword, they don't need a spear, they don't need a war. Shimon HaTzadik Lavush, Bigdei Kehuna, he dressed in the Bigdei Kehuna, Hofia L'fonav, he appeared before him, Umiyad Nichna Melech Yavan, V'ishtachav L'fonav. He immediately succumbed, he gave in to him, he bowed down before him. Kedushas HaTorah, the Kedusha of Torah, Shehi Lamala Min HaTeva, which is Lamala Min HaTeva, Hichnias Balei Chochmas HaTeva. It was totally subdued the masters of natural science. Alkein Zachar Shimon HaTzadik Lehimanos Kiven Zug L'Chashmonayim HaKadoshim Ki Hu Zachar Lachazik B'Doru Es Am B'nei Yisrael B'Madrega HaDrusha L'Chatchila V'Lachein Hayam Atzavam Lamala Min HaTeva. So they're both leaders, the Maccabim and Shimon HaTzadik, in leading Klal Yisrael in a way of lechatchila lamala min hateva, in order to vanquish the Yavanim. Just it was an earlier phase of it. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip around a little. I'm going to do in this next paragraph, Kufaso shel Antigonos ish socho, I'm just going to do a couple of lines in the beginning and a couple of lines on the next page, in the interest of time. Amnam, la'achar tkufa shemon hatzadik, kitzlichu ha-Yavanim la'atzchil la'ashpia al achenu b'nei Yisrael. After Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Yavanim became gradually more successful in having an influence over us through attention to the natural world and science. Now I'm skipping to the near the end. There's like a little asterisk. Al kein ba Antignos ish socho. So who comes after Shimon HaTzadik? And Pirkei Avos, Antignos ish socho. I heard Rabbi Tat say in a shir, look how the name changed. Antignos is not a Jewish name originally. Yeah, it's not a criticism of him, but it shows you something about what's going on in the culture. Something really changed when he went from Shimon HaTzadik to Antignos Yisocho. Okay, Antignos Yisocho, what did he teach Bedoro to his generation? Lachzikas ha'am bedvarav, al tiyu kavadim ha'misham shemes harav, al menas lekabel pras. Don't make your avodas Hashem cause and effect. If I do this, then that. In other words, don't look at your avodas Hashem as if it's something part of the natural world. The laws of nature. Why did he say that? He had to say that because that was the need of the people to understand that at the time. Shimon HaTzadik didn't have to teach them that. Antignos Yisocho did have to teach them that because there was already Greek influence going on. Now, Yud Ches, this is the end of this section, about 5.5 lines from the end. It says, Omnam. It's actually underlined from another time. By the way, ignore my notes. They're from a different year. They're Xeroxed in because I only have one copy of the book. Amnam, Chachmas HaTeva Hishpia B'nei Aminu. However, the Chachma of Teva by that door was influencing the people of our nation. La'achar Tkufas Shimon HaTzadik, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, Lasos Cheshbonos Tivim, to start making natural calculations, B'ma'asehem. So what are the pros and cons of doing it this way or that way? But yeah, they're all benas, the Kabbal Press. Like, what am I going to get out of it? What should I expect to see the results to be? Based on, really, right, we don't, you do it because it's your avoda. You do it because it's right. You don't worry about it. Hashem will take care of it.
Was this criticism specific to their actions in the spiritual realm, also the physical realm?
I'm sure it's in all areas that it was having an effect. He's focusing on the effect on the spiritual because
wrong to do like a cheshbon for physical things.
It seems not. Typically, that's what you do. Right. But the question is, what's the cheshbon? Usually, the cheshbon. The way a Jew makes a cheshbon, typically there's not only physical aspects to it. So there's other aspects that are going to come in. You find out what's the halacha. That's always your first step, right? So that's not really the physical aspect of it. But it happens. Sometimes the halacha will be, you'll ask a shaila and the rov will say, so what are the statistics? What are they telling you? Because something could be halachically dangerous if a statistical amount of time, it goes bad. Is it 1 in 100? Is it 10 in 100? 1 in 1,000? There's different, you know, the halacha changes. So it's not that we're not ignoring the physical, right? Here he seems to be talking about it in terms of the avoda. That's the lesson. Lekach b'mikdash nishtane matzavam. So then we see that reflected in the Beis HaMikdash itself, their situation, mimatzav l'malam in hateva, from a situation of supernatural l'matzav TV to more natural. The Beis HaMikdash also starts to look more natural. Pamim dolek, pamim eino dolek. Sometimes in there, Maravi keeps lighting all through the next day, sometimes not, and v'chulei. Ukafi mashakasov la'el, like what we wrote above, b'shem ha-Rambam v'ha-Rambam, kol shakol matzaveinu talui bekamus uve'echos torasenu uve'mitzvoseinu. the way that Hashem has the world interact with us, he controls it to us, is a reflection of how we are interacting with the world. If we're interacting with the world in such a way that we understand that Hashem is always the one guiding it and always doing it, and everything is really the Malam and Hateva, then that's how we're going to see the world also is acting to us. It's going to be more obvious to us. And when we're acting as if and looking at the world as if it's functioning through some kind of laws of nature, then what we're going to see is a world that looks like it's acting according to the laws of nature. It's a very interesting principle. Okay. Divrei Habach al Gzeiros Hayavonim v'Neis Chanukah. Yes. Now I have to read faster. Amnam. B'meshach hazman. Mimadrega shel avodah abonas l'kabal pras od yadu l'madrega shel his rashlus b'avodah hakadosha. Over the years, we sunk to an even lower level. So now it's not just that we think in terms of like naturalistic terms about our avodah. Now it's even lower. Now it's already like despising. What his rashel is like you don't like it. You're looking down on it. On the avodah hakadosha. V'az gazru hayivanim gzeiros levatel mehem havodah. It didn't come first, the Yevanim saying, don't do mitzvos and Torah. It came from us not valuing it and treasuring it enough. So then the world comes back to us and we see it gets demeaned and taken that way. Okay. There's a Lashon HaBach, and this is what the Bach teaches, Bechanukah, Iker HaGzeira Haisa Al Shehisrashu Ba'avoda. The Iker of the Gezeira of Chanukah was that we demeaned the avodah, we looked down on it, we despised it. The alkein haisa hagazera levato mehem avodah. So then Hashem sends a gazera, be mevatel the avodah entirely. Kidetanya bevraisa. You know, there was a long time when we couldn't even get into the Beis Hamikdash. Kidetanya bevraisa shegazar aleihem levato hatamid. They said, okay, we're being mevatel the karban tamid. Od amru lo mitzvah achas yesh biyadam. There's also they only have one mitzvah that's really giving them all the zechus. Imatem mevatlem osa miyadam. You can conquer the Jews, you know how, if you can just get them to stop doing the mitzvah of Hadlakas Menorah. Lahalos ner tamid. Kol zman shemadlikan osa tamid heim omdim. As long as they can keep that tamid going, they themselves will keep going, because it's a miraculous expression. Okay, it's the Gemara says elsewhere that the menorah, that miracle of the ner tamid that kept lighting all through the night and again all through the day, even when the other candles went out with the same amount of oil, was an open miracle that demonstrated whoever would come by that the Shekhinah is present amongst Kal Yisrael. So if you can just get rid of that menorah service, you could undermine that whole concept of Kal Yisrael being special, that whole Lamala Min Hatevah-ness. I just made that word up all by myself. Okay. Amdu v'timu kol hashmanim. So they came and they made it tamei, all the oil. Remember, you don't have to destroy the oil. You just have to make it tamei and say it's all the same. Kshechazur b'tshuva, limsor nafsham al ha'avoda. When the Maccabim and those who followed them came and they were moser nefesh mamish for the sake of the avoda, hoshiyam Hashem al yedei kohanim ovdei ha'avoda b'veis Hashem. Who did Hashem send to save us? Kohanim, the ones who do the Avodah. Because we had Mesiras Nefesh for Avodah, it took a while for us to get desperate enough to stand up and like, okay, Alkein, Nase Hanes Gamkein, B'Neros. So that's why the miracle happened with the Neros. Tachas Asher He'aru, that they aroused Nafsham Lamus Alkiyum HaAvodah. They were ready to die in order to save the Avodah. Well, that would be a fabulous shir. But we only have one more week, so I don't think we're going to get to that. Well, lefichach, about the whole thing of Mesiras Nefesh. You've heard that one. Being willing to die, Al Kiddush Hashem. We come to a different time of the year for another reason. Okay. Nase hanes gamkein. Oh, we said that, sorry. Lefichach lo kavaum ela lahalal ulahodos shehi avoda sheva leiv. That's why we say, right? Kavu shmonas yimei chanukah elu lahodos ulahalal l'shimcha hagadol. That's the goal. That's trying to get Klal Yisrael too, is avodah. Avodah shebalev. That's tefillah, right? Sing out to Hashem. Then you'll know that we accomplished something. Kama nifloim dvarav hakadoshim. That was the Bach. How wondrous the words of this Bach here. Zal shenemru b'kitzarav, were very abbreviated. Heim hem kiyum divrei harambam v'haramban shekivan shechazu l'avodas Hashem b'lev shalem uvim mesiras nefesh miyadzachu l'matzav shel ma'alam en hateva. It's similar to what we saw above. It's like another example of the idea that Hashem interacts the world to us, how we live, and since we were mosa nefesh mamish for the avodah, we were zocha to a level of l'malam en hateva. Hinei be'gemara Shabbos iso, moi Chanukah. Gemara Shabbos and ask, what's Chanukah? Tanu Rabbonan. Kaf Hei Kislev, Yomi de Chanukah. Okay, hold on. Let me just jump down. He cites, let's not read this inside. He cites the Beis Yosef, the most famous question of Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah 8 days long? If the first day they had the oil, so the miracles are right. And there's like whole Sfarim with hundreds of answers, different kinds of answers, many of which are really so satisfying. It's amazing there's so many that are satisfying. Okay. Because the Etzem Metzias HaPach was also a nace. That's like the basic answer the Meiri gives, because there's day one is finding the Pach, and days 2 through 8 is that it kept on burning. Divrei HaMeiri. Okay. Divrei HaMeiri muvnim heitiv al pi masha kasavnu le'el. The words of the Meiri are built on the same principles that we've been discussing, like what the Bach said, Shehevi Brisa, the Hayavanim Risharim Tzivu Bimyuchad Levato Hadlaka Samanora. The Yavanim were seeking specifically to be Mevato Hadlaka Samanora, Va'alkein Bo Chelehem Vitimu Kolashmanim. Lefize Hayakan Nes Godol. Ki Hayavanim Nichnesu, Behamon Chelehem Lamikdash, Uvezadon Libam Bodku Vechatetu Bekol Kocham, Limto Shemin Kidela Tamo. They brought in lots of strong, mighty, rested troops to come and find every single bit of Shemin they can and make it Tame. Vecholzos Nishar Pachachat Shalom Matsu. So how did one escape their eyes? Not only did one escape their eyes, Venishar Vitara, and stay Tahor, when the Chashmonaim miraculously were able to beat back the Greeks and come into the Beis HaMikdash, Mu'atim, V'chaloshim, Ayefim, V'igeim, and they're exhausted, and there's just a few of them, and they, you know, dusty, and I don't know what. But Kuvitekef Matsu Esapachatar. And now they come in, and oh, look, here's one. When you had all the troops and the FBI, you know, trying to find all of them and get rid of them, and we come in, yeah, here's one. Nes Gadol Hayasham. That is a great miracle there. After that, there's another nes that it goes on for 8 days instead of one. He says, Lanias Daiti, Musar Haskel Gadol. Lanias Daiti, my humble opinion, Yishkan Musar Haskel Gadol. We have a tremendous Musar Haskel. Ki be'etzen, shnei hanisim kshurim zebazeh. It sounds like two nisim that don't have a connection so much, other than both being oil. One is finding it, and one is that it lit. Ki pach shemen shenishar betara bezman shekol hapachem bimkomo nitmu bekavana uvezadon. Hapach hazeh hu pach nisi. This is a miraculous pach shemen. Rotsa lomar etzem kiyumo hu nes. Just the fact that it exists is a nes. Imkein memela dorshe mimenu achakach sheyaaseh maise nisim. If this existence of this pach shemen is a miracle, then we should expect to see that miracles will be done with it. If something, he says, that's the point. It's not that these are two separate nisim that are unconnected. The first day is that they found it at all. After that, you have 7 more days of the miracle being done with the miraculous oil. We're supposed to understand that's a flow. Okay? This is not, the miracle didn't happen with pach. They didn't find 8. There's a different message here. Lefize, bismanenu vidorenu. He says there's a message here that if something is where it should never be, and it's clearly miraculous that it exists, expect to see Nisim done with it. That's what it's for. This is a similar principle the Maharal teaches elsewhere. We saw it a little bit before. Ulefize bizmanenu vidorenu ze. Asher kol echad mi Yisrael shenishar tahor b'deyosav uvevemunaso v'neman l'Torah mitzvah. So in our generation, where any single Jew who is tahor in his deos and in his emuna and faithful to Torah and mitzvos, hu nes gadol. That is a nes gadol. Ki halo, ravi rivivos me'achinu beis Yisrael, nishmudu lefne kama asar shanim. It's only a few decades ago that hundreds and thousands and millions of Jews were physically killed. The ravi rivivos nisbolu bein hagoyim v'nishtamdu. And how many more millions have been lost spiritually into the goyim? If you are a Jew who is Shomer Torah and Mitzvot and you're faithful Torah and Mitzvot, you need to understand that you yourself are a Pach Shal Neis. So you should expect that you're going to do miracles. So separate yourself from that Greek way of life and that Greek way of thinking, lekadesh meitiv kochosav, and put your effort into hashlamas nafsho b'torah v'yir shemayim v'gemilus chasadim, Torah, avoda, and gemilus chasadim. Lahashpia gam kein al achirim lehizkar l'toras Hashem. Mi pach nes dorshim maise nes. Is that worth it or what? Sorry, I went over. Something, huh? That's each of us is the pach shem. That's it. Okay, so mitzvah Hashem. Next week, we're going to learn from Rav Hirsch about Hanukkah. And I hope that you'll see that there's something of a connection. If you want, just for fun, if you see that you want to, if you look, right, Hanukkah's number 8. So if you look in the 8th pasuk of the 8th parsha, you'll see if you could find something that miraculous doesn't seem like it ought to be there. And that it somehow connects also back to Hanukkah. A little bit of a mystery hunt.
Yeah,
Shmini Sheva Shminis is that a tzaddik should have an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So.